Thank you. Hello. Hello. So it's a lot worse going through.
There you are.
Finally.
Turn him down a little. He's very loud.
It's okay.
No, he's no, always loud.
Okay. You're always loud, I hear.
What? I can't hear you.
No, back up.
Back up.
Better up than down.
Somewhere I always do.
Okay.
How are you?
I am fine. Thank you. You're concerned yourself?
I'm okay.
Good. And Marcia, how are you?
Pretty good, Rabbi. Thank you.
Excellent.
I don't know where Nechama is.
Is she coming anymore?
I don't know.
Should I? Judy said I should call her. Should I call her?
If Jenny said.
Okay.
Judy said
so, and I'll take Judy's advice.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to call her right this second, but I will call her.
Fine. Fair enough.
Okay. Somebody should call her, don't you think?
I generally don't think, no. But I think someone should call her nonetheless.
Okay. You should think more often.
No, it gives me a headache.
Got it.
See how it is. Okay.
That thinking can get you in trouble.
Yeah, that's why I try to avoid it at all costs.
I hear you.
Usually pretty successfully, might I add.
Are you back in school?
Very much so.
Okay.
This was an exceedingly busy week.
It's been That'll keep you off the street.
It's true. But I was down in the basement again today, and thankfully people can't get along, so that's good for business.
I think you'll always have business.
It's true. Okay, should we start?
Yeah.
We should.
Okay, so let's start then.
Okay.
So if you remember last time, we left off with this very odd story about this fellow named Micha, who we're not sure when this happened exactly, whether it's at the very beginning of the relation of the Book of Shoftim, or maybe much earlier even, maybe even going back to the time of Egypt, or maybe it's happening right now at the end of the Book of Shoftim, and this guy Micha opens up for himself a house of idol worship. And not only that, but he goes one step beyond and he hires Moshe Rabbeinu's grandson to be in charge.
Shocking.
Shocking indeed. Well, it doesn't get any better this week. What can I tell you?
Okay, just out of curiosity, in these Avodah Zarah places, would there have been ritual prostitution?
I don't know.
What's ritual prostitution?
Okay. I mean, no mention of it.
Okay. I think I
can. Neither I nor Marcia think so. No, neither of us do.
Well, Marcia's not sure what it is, but we'll
ritual,
educate her later.
I understand it's under...
Moshkatha, right.
Yeah, no, it is.
Under the scroll cage, very good.
So, there you go.
Chapter 18. By Yamimahim, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, By Yamimahim, Shevet Hadonim, Mevakish Lo Nachol Lo Sheves, Ki Lo Nachol Lo Ad Hayom, Ha'hu B'Tol Shiftei Yisrael, Na'v V'Nacholah. Now, at that point, there is no leadership, and poor Shevet Dan, the tribe of Dan, is lacking for real estate. Now, if you look at Rashi, anyone have Rashi?
Yeah. Yes. Thank you, Marcia.
Yeah.
So if you look at Rashi, Rashi points out there that Mikan Yesh Lomotaya Maisa Zebekino Shoshofte Miyad. He said this, it's not on the sheet, or rather Rashi would be in Rashi. He said this again points to the idea that this would have happened at the very beginning of the book. Because at the time of Yahushua was the time that they didn't have actually, they were still capturing the land. In fact, if you look at number one on your sheet, the sheet says that in Yahushua, it sounds very much like the story that is being told here was also happening at the time of Yahushua. Because you'll see that in the time of Yeshua, they talk about that the people of Dan attacked Leshem. That's exactly what's going to happen in this chapter. Mm-hmm. So you're stuck with one of two ways of looking at that. One possibility is the possibility that we've been saying over and over again, that this story actually happened much earlier in history. There's a stick in me. Yes.
We know this because Don hasn't been the text is saying they haven't been allotted an inheritance, but hasn't it been divided up at that point? Who's supposed to get what?
It was divided, but it wasn't necessarily captured.
Conquered. Got it. Okay. Conquered. All right.
Correct. That's it. Now, again, we are looking at this as this story is out of order. A second way of looking at it, I'm just going to raise the possibility and not go into it much, is it could be that the chapter in Yehoshua is out of place.
Yeah.
It could be that which was written in Yehoshua actually occurred much later. Now that, of course, would question the authorship of Yehoshua. According to the tradition in the Gemara, Yehoshua, the book, was written by Yehoshua, the individual.
Right.
So that would be impossible for it to be happening later on in history. The Abarbanel is of the opinion, he disagrees with the Talmudic idea that Yehoshua wrote his own book and assumes that it was written much later. Part of the reason based on this.
Oh, wow. Okay.
The Abarbanel's opinion is a non-traditional opinion.
Yeah.
So he is somewhat of a traditional exegete.
Right.
Again, you've got this problem. The same story is told in Yehoshua or in Shoftim. Either you have to go with the idea that this story in Shoftim happened long ago, or you have to somehow explain why Yehoshua is telling the story that's not happening until much later.
And Abarbanel is when? What's his time period?
He's a Rishon. Don Yitzchak Abarbanel was 1300s, if I have to guess.
Okay. Thanks.
A quick check if you want exact dates.
I don't need an exact, but it helps me to understand when he's speaking.
So according to the very important source of Wikipedia, it's 1437 to 1508. So late 15th century.
15 what?
1437 to 1508.
Oh, wait. Okay. Thanks.
Right. So again, late 15th century.
Columbus.
So again, he's of the opinion that, in fact, this chapter is where it belongs, but the question is what's going on in Yehoshua. So again, just raising the issue, an important issue. Again, chronology is in fact.
That's easy for you to say.
Obviously not. וישרחו בני דם ממשפחתם חמיש אנשים מקיסם אנשים בני חיון מצער משת האור ורגל אס הארץ ולחוקר ויום הרהב ולחו חיקרס הארץ והביאו הר אפרים עד בית מיכה וירינו שם. So the members of Dan from the cities of the area of Tira and Eshtaol, does anyone remember having those cities before? Ring a bell.
I don't remember.
In the story of Shimshon, he was known from Tzira to Eshtaol. If you want, I can point you to the relevant verse. Those cities are mentioned back in the day at the very beginning of the story of Shimshon. So I believe if you would look at the last pasuk in Perek Gimel. So that would be Yud Gimel Chaf Hey. Got that? 1325. Anyone have that?
Almost, yeah. And the Spirit.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and the Spirit. Right. The Lord began to move in him in Menachah Dan between Zorah and Eshtol.
Yeah.
Right. And again, looking at us at 18:2, where are these people from?
They are
Eshtol.
Valor from Zorah and from Eshtol.
Same two cities.
Again, these must have been major cities in Dan, because whenever we're talking about Dan, we're again going to the same two cities. So these five people are sent to by the members of Dan in order to scope out you know, potential areas to conquer in order that they can have more space to live in. So as they were going out, they stopped in the house of Micha, as fate would have it.
Does that mean they're all up north where Don is?
Yes.
Okay.
So Gimel, Hema im Beis Micha, Vehema Ikiras Kohanar Halevi, Vayasuru Sham Vayomro, Mia Veachalo, Mumata Oseba Ze Amalachavo. So here they are, they're in this house of the voters are, and they recognize the Kohen. He says, wait a second.
What are you doing here?
What? What's a nice guy like you doing in a joint like this?
Exactly.
Right? So, in fact, if we didn't know the obvious, take a look at number two on the source the sheet. The Talmud in Bava Basra goes through, they say, gives an idea of how shocked they were to see Moshe's grandson. So it says in number two, Vayasuru Shomemo, Mihem Yachalom, Mumata Oseba Zel Malachapo. Who brought you here and what are you doing here? Amru lo, Rabbi Moshe Kaasis? Aren't you Moshe's grandson?
Dafka.
Miktibbe Al Tigrev Halom? He was the one who spoke face to face for God? Rabbi Moshe Kaasis, Miktibbe Mazem Yadafka? Isn't he the one who went on God's command to Paro and did the miracles? Rabbi Moshe Kaasis, Miktibbe Va'ata Po Amodi Madi? Aren't you the one, aren't you from Moshe, who stayed up in Har Sinai together with God alone? Kasa, Kohen, Avodah Zara, this is what you're doing with yourself for a living. Yes, I have a tradition from my grandfather. Olam Yashka, Adam Atom, Avodah Zara, by Yifar Chabrios. Better that a person should work for idol worship than rather to have to take handouts.
Who said this, man?
Now, the problem is, she didn't really understand what his grandfather said. Whosoever avoda zara mamish. What is avoda zara? I don't know. What do the words mean, avoda zara? Avoda means?
Work. Worship. Work.
Zara means? Odd, different.
Okay.
Right? So they said to him, what in fact his grandfather said to him is, better you should take a job in an area you're not familiar with.
I'm
a trained engineer, but I can't get a job. He said, better to become a janitor than to take handouts. He didn't say better to do idol worship. His grandson didn't understand that.
He wasn't smart enough with his background to know what he meant.
He wasn't the sharpest knife in the drawer, it seems.
Okay.
It says, Ella Vodza Avodish Zara Lo. Karamalay Rabkana, Meltish Negosa Mishuka Vishokale, Gov Altema Gavarabban of Zila B. Milsa. Better, in fact, you should go fillet carcasses in the marketplace rather than to say this work is below me and to take handouts. Kevin Shirah, David, Shemam, and Chaviv, Rabbi Yosef, you know how it goes. David, so this guy's really into money. He made him the head of the treasury eventually.
Unbelievable.
Shavuel ben Gershom ben Menashe, Negin, all Otsos. Of Ki Shavuel, Shemam, I am Hoposek Shemam. Elam Rabbi Yochanan, Shashav, Lekel, Bechalibo. Eventually, this guy did complete Shuva. Gave up the Avodah Zarah and went into the Wall Street and began working on Wall Street.
I was going to say he worked as a janitor.
Or what?
What?
He gave up Avodah Zarah.
I'm saying
idol worship.
He did give this up, or?
He gave it up eventually.
Okay.
That's what the Gemara tells us.
Okay.
Rashbam discussed his it. We won't go through. The Rashbam said, yeah, he gave it up because he had a lot of money. He was in it for the money. Once he made the money, he just left.
He was out. Okay.
Okay, so here they are. They say, what in the world are you doing here, my friend? Good question. We were wondering that ourselves, actually.
We were.
David, Vayomar Lehem, Kazov Yechazeh Asalim Nicha, Vayiskarem Yevegol and Kalim. He said, well, here's what happened, and now I got a job here. It's a pretty good gig, actually. This This is a little bit of a tricky pasuk. He says, okay, do us a favor. Ask Elohim, and we'll know whether we are successful or not.
Why would they ask him this?
So what are they asking him to do?
They're asking him to sort of prophesy in a way. They're trying to get God's blessing. Why would they go to a guy who does Avodah Zorah to get this blessing?
What does Rashi say here? What does Rashi say?
Yeah, we have Rashi.
Let's hear. I'm going to be like my wife. Judy, do you want to read the Rashi?
I don't know if I can read the Rashi. First, I got to find it. Okay, which one is it?
Hey.
Hey. Oh, that's
Sha'alna.
Wow. Sha'alna the Elohim.
Very good. It's here.
The letters are different.
Yes, it's Rashi.
I know. I don't know how to read Rashi.
Okay. Anybody want to try it, or should I step in here?
You should step in. I don't have the Rashi.
Okay. So I will step in here.
I can read all your day.
Okay. So he says, "Bitrafim shemedabim oidei machshefos." He says, so they said to him, go ask your Avodah Zarah whether we're going to do it right, if it's going to work out or not.
Oh, I know. So he's doing like the same thing, like, you know.
Right.
So.
Right. You're a guy. You do Avodah Zarah. So right. What's your Avodah Zarah say? Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
Right.
So that is one approach. If you look, however, in the Targum, I don't know if anyone has that, it says, She'il kanim imeimra da Hashem. So again, the Targum reads it different than Rashi. Rashi understands, ask the Avodah Zarah, as opposed to somehow or another, he figured, well, forget the Avodah Zarah. You, in fact, are a grandson of Moshe. What would God say about this?
Why would they even consult him?
They're not consulting him. They're just trying to show him.
I didn't get that nuance.
Right.
I thought, what are they doing?
Yeah. It's like, let them.
So the Radak, has both approaches to it. They turn around, they say to him, okay, you know, are we going to be successful in our mission to find and conquer additional land? So he says, go with the blessing of God, who will be successful. So they find a city named Laish. And the city of Laish is, in fact, an open city. These people are sitting there. They are unprotected. There are no other people near them that, in fact, are there to protect them. So they figure this is the best ever. We've got a nice piece of land here. These people, it's an easy war. We're going to go attack. So they come back again to the two major cities, again, Sarah and Eshtaol, once again, we're talking about. And they say, so guys, how did the trip go? So they come back and they tell the Sheva Dun, we've got a great place to attack. We checked it out. Let's go attack. This is going to be great. This is a great land. It lacks nothing. This would be a perfect place for us to expand our borders. So, an entire army joined these Baha'i people to go back to attack Yoram. So 600 armed men.
Who are these guys?
Out. What?
Who are these? Who is this army?
This is an army from Dun.
So these are the people of Dun.
Correct. The people of Dun now are joining with the five people that originally came.
Okay.
And they're saying, okay, you know, we are ready to take them on. So on their way to battle, guess where they stop?
Not again. Same
place. Does anyone know where Kiryat Yearim is?
I do not.
So Kiryat Yearim in modern day Israel is known as Kiryat Yearim. It has the same name to this day. But in Kiryat Yearim there are two cities in the Kiryat. One is called Abu Ghosh.
Oh, I've seen the sign Abu Ghosh.
Right, Abu Ghosh is a friendly Arab village.
And what's the other?
Telstone.
Telstone?
Yes.
I haven't seen a sign for Telstone.
Telstone is a wonderful city. It's got a few yeshivas in it. I have, in fact, if you remember, do you guys remember Rabbi Langdon who spoke this summer about? He lives in Telstone.
Oh, okay. Is it? I assume it's Jewish.
Yes. It's very interesting. They're right next to each other, and they get along very well, those two. Telstone happens to be more of a right-wing community.
Okay.
They live next to Abu Ghosh, and they shop at each other's stores, and they get along pretty well.
Cool.
Okay. So they go, and they set up here. Now, that's they are more in the south, heading up to head up north. From Yehuda, they go out to Ephraim. Ephraim is right next to Yehuda, right above it, right, because they're heading north, right thing. And they end up in the house of Recha.
Here we go again.
Yehuda, if you didn't like the last part, you'll hate this.
Okay.
You're not going to believe it, he says, but in this city, there is an Avodah Zarah. They got a full stacked place. You know what we should do with them. Wink, wink. So, with that, Tesvav, Vayasu Shama, Vayavo, and Beis Hamar Halevi, Beis Micha, Vayishalom, Lashalom. So they go and they knock on the door where this son of Levi is, and they say, "So how you doing? Remember us?" And the five guys knock on the door, and standing behind them are
600 soldiers,
armed to the teeth. And you got 600 people armed there standing by the gate. So they go and they steal the Avodah Zarah and everything in the temple there. They just clear the place out. The Eva bro with base micha, my first a pencil, Eva Vesa Trafi Vesa Masikhaim. Ma'atem Osim. So Moshe's grandson says, "Hey, what are you guys doing? You can't do that." So they said to him, "You be quiet. We're taking you also. Because isn't it better to be the Kohen for an entire Shevet instead of just one house?" And he answered, "Yeah, that's not better. He says, all right, you can't beat him, join him. So they go and they clear out the whole place and they're leaving. Suddenly, here comes Micha. So Micha comes running over and says, what are you guys doing? You can't do that. They said, why exactly are you yelling at us?
Right.
You just stole everything I owned, including my coin. And you want to know why I'm upset? He said, enough of the yelling. You might get some people upset. And if we get upset, some people might get hurt.
He couldn't have missed the 600 men.
Right.
Right.
So with that, with that, he realizes that it probably would be best if I shut my mouth. With that, he turns around and he goes home. Okay.
Sorry.
Ah. So, with that,
mind you, please step up.
Okay. With that, that's it. So now they have cleared out the house, and because they have cleared out the house, it's now time to go to war. Oddly enough, how do you think God would take this? These people just went.
Which part?
These people want to win a war, and in order to win the war, they steal some Avodah Zarah to go with them.
Well, that seems put that way, that seems very weird. I thought they're really just clearing it out and taking Micha with them. Taking the Kohen with them.
Right, but the thing that they actually stole, the Avodah Zarah, etc.
It doesn't say they destroyed it. They said they took it with them. So it's kind of iffy what's going on here.
Well, nothing good, it seems.
Yeah.
Well, again, if they're doing it for... My original feeling about it was that they were taking it to kind of destroy the shop, basically.
But they don't.
Right, but now it sounds like they've taken it to have their own graven images with them.
Right.
And a priest.
That's not good.
Not at all.
No.
So what are they thinking?
They're thinking, hey, maybe this graven image thing ain't so bad.
Well, it didn't protect these guys.
Right.
Micha,
it didn't
so
protect
it's like,
Micha.
Let's see what happens. Let's see what happens when they go to war.
Right. Okay.
So, Chav Zayim, Behem Olachu Es Asher Asa Micha, Nesakor Esher Hayorah, Vayero Al Raish, Al Am Shal Kipu Bateh, Vayako Samuchicha, Vesir Safru Be'esh. With that, they go. They attack this undefended city. They kill the people, and they burn the city down. There was no one who could protect this undefended city. So they went and they built up their own city. So with that, they go and they build the city, they rename it, they call it the city Dun, and then, in fact, that's where they end up living. The whole story is amazing. You would expect God to just wipe these people out. What a bunch of jerks.
Yeah.
Not what happened.
Not only that, they set up the graven images.
Right.
This is crazy.
So this is a very, very bothersome story. Well, take a look at some of the sources. Take a look at number 8. in number 8 to the Kim, discusses what are they doing with this. So the Ziv explains this as follows. There was an understanding, he says, that the Karbonos sacrifices in general were very helpful in terms of helping people with Parnasa. That by bringing sacrifices, that led to rain, it led to financial success. So because of that, he said, people understood that when you went to the Beis HaMikdash, when you went to the Mishkan, you offered a sacrifice, that led to success. Now, the Mishkan, or the Beis HaMikdash, was not centrally located for everybody. If you lived in Dan, which is in the far north, in order to get the Shilo or to the Beis HaMikdash,
gotta come south.
Right, that is a solid 200 miles.
Yeah.
From Metula to 200 miles. Smart. In those days, it take how long to travel?
Days, weeks.
More than days.
Weeks. Yeah.
Right, and again, it's a round trip. You're probably looking at a month.
Okay, that sounds reasonable, 200 miles.
Right, so people wanted to bring Karbonos, right? They didn't want to travel in a month. So that's what led to this idea of the idea if there's some other intermediary, if there's some way we can offer sacrifices without having to travel that much, that is preferable for us.
Right, because otherwise they're discouraged from coming and making the sacrifice.
Right, so therefore, they in fact, because of that, that is why that there is some good intentions behind this. Because they want to give sacrifices, but this is done all the wrong way.
It may have good intent. It's all bad. I mean, the way they do it is all bad.
Absolutely, it's all bad, without a doubt. If you look at at number 9, I'll give you a pasuk from this week's parsha. If you look, it says, at the very end of this week's parsha, we read about Amalek. It talks about that Amalek attacked us. Asher korcha v'adarech v'yizdei v'chol konech shalim achrecha v'ata ayiv v'yagev lo yirei Elohim. It talks about the fact that they attacked us at a time that we were tired and they were not God-fearing. If you look at the Targum Yonasan, when it translates it into Aramaic, it adds a few interesting words. It says the Ara Yachon Ba'archa Vahavi Kata Bachon Kolda Havi Maharim Masri, Vasta Memra Hainon Guvre, Mishifta the base done, Gabi Bideyam Ochon Nuchra. Why did God allow them to attack us? Because there were people from Shevet Dan who had with them a foreign God. And the Anana Yakovitz spit these people out. So in fact, if you look at this week's parsha in the Targum, it actually blames Pesel Micha for the story of Amalek. Now, of course, this dates it back all the way to this week's parsha.
All right, which means before they got to the land.
Correct. One more source related to that, we'll go back to number 5, where the Medrash actually says, why in the world did God support these people? This is ridiculous. They were bad, between made Adam and Chavero. They were a bunch of thieves. Right? They stole from this guy. They were bad, between Adam Lamako. In that they had an Avodah Zarah with them. These guys really have nothing going for them.
Right. So why does God support them?
Right. So why does God support them? And it says that, you know, sometimes God's good to us and we don't deserve it. As it says in the end, we got to admit that God, you were good to us way beyond what we deserved. So again, you're right. The Rebbe says these people did not deserve to be supported by God. But still, for whatever reason, God looked kindly upon them. Even though, yes.
Usually when we screw up, we don't win the war. We don't conquer the land. This is an aberration, basically.
This is a definite exception to the rule.
Are there more of these?
So this is a major example.
It surely is.
Okay. Now, interesting, I guess I'll just do it outside. Number 11 wants to know, why did they bring on the city? It's a little weird. They wanted to live there. Why did they just kill the people and keep the city?
Right.
He theorizes, that's what it is, from the Radak. The theory is that perhaps in order to, as part of the attack, they set the city on fire in order that the people would have to deal with the fire and the attack at the same time.
It's a strategy, in other words.
Right. Okay. What happens after that? What happens to the idol? Vayakimu Amid. 30. Vayakimu Am B'nei Dan Esapesel V'yahonasan Ben Gershom Ben Menashe Hu Avanav Hayakadu V'shevet Hadani Ad Yom Golos Haaretz. In fact, he says that the idol remains with Dan, and Yonasan Ben Gershom Ben Menashe. What's strange about the word Menashe there? Do you have anything different in your versions?
Here. Well, why is Menashe's name in here?
Yeah, the Nun is raised.
Oh, you're talking about the Hebrew.
Correct. Very good. The Nun is raised. So
yeah,
why
what's
is the Nun raised? Rashi says, because the Nun doesn't belong there. The word is supposed to be?
Moshe?
Moshe.
Moshe. Right? In fact, this was the grandson of Moshe, not of Menashe.
Right.
Right, so to cover for Moshe a little bit, we stick the Nun halfway in. Why a Nun specifically? Right, because it's very odd. You don't often find a letter that's half in. So if you look at the Gemara number 12 says, why the same Menashe? The Chibe Menashe, halo ben Moshe hu. Diksiv b'nei Moshe Gerim Eliezer. Ela mikok she'asa maisim Menashe kol kosev Menashe. Well, Menashe was a bad king. Menashe did Avodah Zarah. So we blame it on him. But in deference to the fact that we know it's not actually the case, oddly, the Nun only gets put half in. You don't often see that in Tanakh. How long do they stay in business? What does it say? Ad yom gelos haaretz.
All time.
All times until they are sent into exile. What does Rashi say? Until the time of Sanherib. This remains until the 10 tribes go into exile. For all those hundreds of years, it remained open for business.
Is there ever any explanation at any point as to why that was? Or you just don't know?
So again, it's amazing how long this remained. We had mentioned last week that, in fact, the fellow, Micha himself, was a relatively good guy. He was very good with his Achmasos Archim. He did good stuff like that. But it's a very amazing story. We're talking about centuries. So, if you look at the Radak disagrees. The Radak says, in fact, when Mishkan Shiloh gets destroyed at the time of Shmuel, this also gets knocked out.
Hmm.
So again, there is a second opinion as well, but either way, we're dealing with a very long time. As long as the Mishkan was in Shiloh, the Pesel was there, right next to it. It's an amazing story. It's a very disturbing story. But if you think this is disturbing, wait until next week.
All right.
because it only gets worse.
What are we supposed to learn from this?
I don't know. I just present the story. I can't tell you what we learned from this. I mean, what we learned from this is that these were bad times. The entire Sefer Shoftim, there was a lack of leadership. And the lack of leadership led to bad things.
That's true.
Okay. Question for the Shribers.
What's that?
What?
Question for the Shribers. Is that going to be the Shabbos before the wedding or the Shabbos before that? Do you know?
Yeah, what's when you're going to be in Israel?
So it's going to be the week before? I'm going to miss it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry to hear.
We're setting up schedule.
What's that?
No, I just have to say, we're just setting up
schedule. Yeah, it's too close to do it. Like, the wedding is on Sunday.
In January,
to be here for Shabbos, and then I'll head out. It's a little stressful.
I hear that.
All right. Why will you be in Israel in January?
Because I have intercession. I'm going to visit Devorah.
Oh, that's a good reason.
As long as you'll be there on the 19th, the main
reason. Yes. We are supposed to come back 3-4 days beforehand. We have some leeway.
Okay, that's good.
Devorah got to Israel. She's doing well.
Oh, good.
How's she doing?
Right. So
Does she like what she's doing?
I mean, she's been there one day.
First day went well.
I mean, 2 days. She flew out on Tuesday.
Okay. Okay. That's great. That's
very nice.
As far as we know, she is doing well. We're very happy for her. My nephew. What happened was a little funny story. My nephew got married on Monday night.
Mazel
tov. The wedding was called for 6:30, 7:30. And Devorah's flight was 11:50.
Oh my!
So Devorah put on a gown. She went to the wedding. When they started walking down the aisle, she got changed.
Yeah.
Chai and the girls stayed for the whole wedding, but I went with Devorah to JFK.
Yeah.
We were online for an hour and 50 minutes trying to check in.
Oh boy!
She finally got in at 11 o'clock at night. She made the flight. But I didn't get back to the wedding until after Benjamin.
Oh,
it was the entirety end to end. But the next night we made Sheva Brachas, and I was Panim Chadashos because I had totally missed the wedding.
Oh, there you go. It worked out.
So it did work out.
And just for your
cool
Mazel Tov, by the way. And just for your information, Talia is extremely happy.
When is she coming to us for Shabbos? Inquiring.
You'll have to talk to her. What she's informed us is that she's an adult. You'll have to speak with her about that.
Right, okay. Esty Brooks was supposed to come this Shabbos, but she canceled. She's coming next Shabbos.
Maybe she'll come with Esty, yeah.
Right.
But thank God, she's very excited.
She's adulting.
Yeah, she's adulting. That's okay. What they think.
Great. All right. Yeah. Good night.
Have a good
Shabbat Shalom.
So, is Talia the one who's getting married?
No, Talia's she's in college.
Okay. I don't know all your children.
Yeah. So she's the youngest. She's the one that was.
But it's a son who's getting married.
Right.
And his name is
Yoni.
And he's getting married on my birthday.